නමෝ භගවත්තේ වාසුදේවාය.
රීෂම භාගතම් කැන්තෝ 11 chapter 25, what text number?
7.
Text number 7. Please repeat. Dharme cha te cha kame cha.
Dharme cha te cha kame cha.
Yada so parinishtitaha.
Yada so parinishtitaha.
Gunam sanikarsho yam. Shudharati dhanandanava. Shudharati dhanava.
Shudharati dhanava.
Dharme.
Dharme.
In religiosity. Cha. And. Arte. In economic development. Cha. And. Kame.
In sense gratification.
Cha. And. Yada. When. Asau.
This living entity.
Parinishtitaha. Is fixed. Gunanam.
Of the modes of nature.
Sanikarshaha.
The
intermingling. Ayam.
This.
Shuddha.
Faith.
Vati. Sensual enjoyment.
Dhana.
And wealth. Avahaha.
Which
each bring.
Which
translation and purport. When a person devotes himself to religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, the faith, wealth, and sensual enjoyment obtained by his endeavors display the interaction of the three modes of nature. Please repeat. When a person devotes himself to religiosity,
economic development,
and sense gratification, the faith,
wealth,
and sensual enjoyment,
obtained by his endeavors,
display the interaction
of the three modes of nature.
Therefore, religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification are situated within the modes of nature, and the faith, wealth, and enjoyment obtained by them clearly reveal the particular situation of a person within the modes of nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, we also see the description there by the Lord to Arjuna, the different activities in the modes of nature, faith in the different modes, everything. Everything is affected by the modes of nature. Although two people may appear to be doing the same activity, they may be driven by a different mode in the performance of the activity. Sometimes one mode is more prominent than another mode. This is the nature of the material world. Arjuna is recommended to rise above the modes of nature. These three activities mentioned here, religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, the first of the generally in religiosity, the first three, and then of course there's liberation, but most people are more interested in these first three. If religiosity serves the purpose of the other two, then really religiosity is of use or value. It's an artha. Otherwise, they consider it an anartha, unwanted, unnecessary. If they can get sense gratification, economic development to their satisfaction without religion, then there's no need of religion. There's no need of God or any such thing. The most people's motivation is sense gratification and economic development. And everything else really is meant to serve that particular purpose. So their faith, people's faith is generally very flickering and very shallow, but it's generally materialistic. They have faith in economic development or sense enjoyment. A little more pious, they have faith in religion, but it still remains a method to supply economic development and sense gratification. So all this falls within the material modes of nature. Even their aspiration for heavenly elevation, or even freedom from karmic reactions, sinful reactions, not so much freedom from good reactions, they want freedom from sinful activity or reactions of sinful activity. We don't generally see people aspiring for freedom from the reactions of good activities, not usually, but they're just as binding, materially speaking. A devotee is not interested in good or bad activities per se. One who's actually a little, by good fortune, a little intelligent, is not interested in cultivating good activities or avoiding bad activities in of themselves. That will come automatically, because both are, whether punya or papa, both materialistic and both are entangling in this world. The devotee is interested in surrendering everything to Krishna. This is the Pancha Purusharta, the fifth goal of human life, is to develop, or Krishna Pramartha Mahan, to develop one's love of Krishna. And that is done, or at least in the beginning, by utilizing these other conditionings or whatever situations we find ourselves in this material world in the service of Krishna. And by doing that, one becomes freed from the reaction to both pious and impious activity. Yes, we also have to become free from the reaction of pious activity. But most people, they are busy trying to entangle themselves in the reactions of pious activity, because they think that this will mean more material enjoyment. The material enjoyment in itself is the source of misery. This is the actual story. He samsparshaja bhoga dukhi yonya evite. It is a source of misery. Wise man doesn't take pleasure in this kind of so-called achievement in life, because it leads to birth and death. It leads to entanglement in the material world. This is the special feature of Maya, how Maya bewilders the living entity, so the living entity is not aware of anything beyond this practically. Almost like an animal, which doesn't have any perception of it much beyond its own little world. So most humans are like that. Everything around them is based upon this, whether it's education or entertainment or whatever it is. Basically, founded on this idea of trying to find sense gratification and economic development. Just like today, some of the devotees are going somewhere to chant Hare Krishna. I don't know where they're going somewhere. Was it? Puti? Puti? Where? Somewhere. Where are you going?
Puti.
You're going to play Puti. Puti. Where is that? Pardon?
Melbourne.
Melbourne what? Central. What's that? MC?
Melbourne Cricket Ground.
MCG, Melbourne Cricket Ground. They're playing footy at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Kicking the cricket ball. So the devotees are going there to chant Hare Krishna. The people are not going there to develop their love of Krishna, I don't think. They're driven by the modes of passion, covered by the mode of ignorance, and hardly any influence of goodness at all is present there. Mostly it's passion, ignorance and passion. The devotees are going there. We're not just going there to try to, you know, fix people in goodness. We're trying to connect people with Krishna, like performing the kirtan, sankirtan. I guess everyone's welcome, and some of you are packing cookies right now or not? Any cookie packers? So they're packing cookies for the footies. The best way to help them, whether they all actually, this is where they all become winners. Otherwise they're all losers, every one of them, whether they so called win or lose, they're all really losers. One's getting the result of their good karma and one's getting the result of their bad karma, I suppose. But they're all, you know, losing, really. They're all getting further and further entangled in the material world of birth and death. Next lifetime they might be born as a blade of grass on the Melbourne cricket or a worm or something. Who knows? They might be. And they can wash free of charge. And here they pay a lot of money to watch this tap time around. Next time they can watch it free from ground level, underground level. But all this is within the modes of nature, and the idea of human life is to get out of the modes of nature. But most people don't know this. They're pretty much in ignorance, unfortunately. And even when offered the opportunity to rise above the modes of nature, most people are a little hesitant to even consider it, what to speak of, do it. And those who make the effort also sometimes are a little stumbling, a little hesitant, a little difficult. We get influenced by these desires to sense enjoyment, sometimes the economic development, certainly liberation from karmic reactions and so on, very potent. Prominent in those on the spiritual path. But to actually act transcendentally means to act for Krishna's pleasure, to satisfy Krishna's senses. So if one has economic means, or one has some good karma, clearly good karma, and one has, you know, some good facilities and so on, one is meant to use that in Krishna's service. It's not that we're meant to enjoy it separately from Krishna. To understand that is whatever it may be, the cause of that, our karma may be there. But we see it as Krishna's mercy, and it should be used in Krishna's service. Otherwise it becomes entangling or binding in this material world. The idea is to cut that knot on the bondage of a karmic reaction, to actually cut it, not just to improve it. Most religious practice is to improve the situation of people within the modes of nature. Try to help people rise up a little bit, maybe, to the mode of goodness, but still within the modes of nature. There's not much influence or even inference to indicate there is a goal beyond that. The usual goal is heaven, which is within the modes of nature, within the material world. It's the higher plane within the material world. People are pious materially, but still lacking realization of their true identity and their relationship with the Supreme Person. Others, they aspire for liberation from this material world, but still lacking full understanding of their actual nature and their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only partial understanding may be there, but not complete. Complete understanding is to understand one's actual nature, about these modes of nature, as eternal servitor of Krishna, and to understand Krishna's actual transcendental nature also. He never comes under the modes of material nature. He remains ever transcendental. And the soul was meant to also be ever transcendental, but we have this freedom of choice, and if we misuse that freedom, we're placed under the modes of nature. And the Lord makes our faith according to our particular desire. He makes the faith of the living being strong in a particular mode of nature, so that he's convinced that, you know, money is the goal of life. Like Chinese people, some one or two Chinese devotees here will vouch for that, that at least most Chinese businessmen, if you ask them their goal of life, it's money. If you say, what is God to you, they'll say money is God. To them, economic development is the goal of life. Everything resolves or revolves around economic development. Even their, let's say their recreation practically is gambling. It revolves around economic development. Others reckon recreation may not be exactly economic development, it's pure sense gratification. But for most Chinese people, recreation revolves around economic development. Gambling, horse racing, numbers, all sorts of things. Mahjong, all sorts of... always for money. always gambling. Can't help it. In the blood. And it could be dovetailed in Krishna's service, some economic development, and certainly be dovetailed in Krishna. By using one's wealth in the service of Krishna, one becomes freed of entanglement. Otherwise, the activity binds us in this material world more and more and more, intertwining. Unfortunately, due to lack of information, lack of knowledge, people are in ignorance. They don't know what the goal of human life is or the goal of their activity is, and they're blinded in this way by... Not because Maya's, you can say, is a competitor to Krishna consciousness. She's not at all. She's just facilitating people's personal desires under the direction of the Supreme Person. There's no competitor to God. The Lord is just facilitating the individual's desire. He's not interfering with the independent desires of the living entity, but rather he's actually... Therefore, the living entity cannot actually have anything whatsoever without the will of the Lord, even materially. We may think that we're providing or that we're doing something, but nothing can be done or provided. He's the provider and the ultimate doer. Material nature under his direction is acting to provide the living entity facilities to try to fulfill the living entity's desire. But the living entity is responsible for this. Not the mature nature, not the devil, not God. It's the living entity's responsibility. It's the living entity's responsibility that we're in this world, and it's our responsibility to get out of it. You can't blame anyone else whatsoever for one's situation. That's the real binding factor of this world. When we start to, you know, identify and blame others for a particular situation, no matter what it is, one has to realize one's getting the fruits of one's work, be it good or bad, and realize this is both these things are illusory, and we have to rise above this, transcend the modes of nature. We're not here just to try to adjust the situation in our favor all the time, to get what we so-called want according to our condition. Of course, that's what naturally happens, and naturally driving the forces there to satisfy our condition, try to fulfill. And Krishna consciousness sometimes becomes another method to try to satisfy our material, say, aspirations or our material desires, our material needs, our material concepts and perceptions. Krishna consciousness becomes another method It's like religion to most people is. And yoga becomes like that. Yoga for health, yoga for wealth. It's common these days. Everything is for that purpose, to satisfy me. And this is the basic problem. The binding factor which keeps us in this mature world is we see everything in relation with me, and what others have done to me or don't do to me, or how people recognize me or don't recognize me, what they think of me or don't think of me, what they give to me or don't give to me, you know, and so on and so forth. Everything in relationship with me. But the actual Krishna consciousness means to see everything relationship with Krishna, that we sometimes forget. And and maybe we're a little bit in the mode of passion and goodness or something, and we think, you know, we deserve something more than I'm getting. We get exactly what we deserve, not more or less. But it's for a devotee, it's not just a question of that. It's actually Krishna is arranging a situation, favorable situation for our release from this entanglement in the most modes of nature. But we don't sometimes see it like that, because we're still seeing ourselves in the center as the enjoyer. This is called sex life, basically, in broader definition. And that is what's binding us in this material world, what's keeping us. And that's until we start to see things in Krishna, relationship with Krishna, understand, even when we're placed into unpleasant, distressful conditions, it is not by chance, it is not somebody else's doing or this or that. It's a situation which is actually favorable for our release from this material world. Of course, it's due to our whimsical behavior. Indirectly, you could say it still is favorable for that purpose, but indirectly it may be binding also, because we're identifying ourselves with the cause of our situation in a materialistic way. You can understand that we're actually, the soul is really nothing to do with this material body in reality, or the modes of nature within this material world, or the actions and reactions of this material world. Even the desires which we have, which are stemmed from the soul, no doubt, have become perverted. They become perverted, and they're not real to the soul. They're like dreams for the soul. And we're trying to fulfill our dreams in this material world. It's like at night time, one has dreams, but we know they're all illusory. So the dreams of desire we have in the daytime are also illusory, really. So they appear real. They're actually here 1 minute, gone the next. They don't prevail. They're just clouds passing by in the sky of our consciousness. And they'll be gone as soon as they come, and another one will come along. We have to cultivate this pure sky of Krishna consciousness. Clear sky of Krishna consciousness. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Putting Krishna in the center. Daily worship is so important. Helps us to put Krishna and desire in the center in so many ways. But it's important. People in general don't know that, even religious people don't understand this important point of daily worship. It's so important the Lord has come so we can put him in the center in this way. Otherwise the tendency is to still see God as an order supplier or some unembodied energy or a spiritual existence of some kind. But to understand his personal presence, and this deity worship is so important. Beautiful deity worship like here, and coming to the Lord, into the temple, being seen by the Lord, purified by the Lord, by coming into the temple and being in front of him or in the temple room, taking only food offered to Krishna, prepared for Krishna, just putting Krishna in the center. Going out and chanting Krishna's names is a pure sound vibration. It's not a motivated sound vibration in the material sense. It's a transcendental sound vibration. By chanting this Maha Mantra, it's come from the spiritual look at a Prima Donna Hari Nam Sankirtan. It's come from the spiritual plane. It's not from this material plane. Some mantras are directed towards material goals or liberation. We call them mantras. A mantra really means that which releases the mind from material entanglement. But many people call them mantras, but they're more prayers for elevation to a higher material plane. So they're mantras for liberation. But this Hare Krishna mantra is not of that nature. It is totally transcendental. We may have a material motivation when we chant, but the mantra itself is pure and transcendental. Eventually, by associating with the mantra, one will become purified of all one's material motivations. The more people are exposed to the mantra, it may be a little drop, just like today, I don't know, thousands of people hopefully will hear the holy name, maybe take prasadam. That would be, for some of them, the beginning or another little step on their progress towards transcendence, towards transcending even footy, transcendence. Of course, there's footy in the spiritual world too. They have foot games and playing ball games with different fruits and what have you. In the spiritual world, everything is there, but it's just perverted in the material world by the modes of nature. Everything becomes perverted. And due to ignorance, due to Maya's influence, and ignorance, of course, the living entity is forgetful of his spiritual identity, and thus identifies entirely with this material world and tries to become the supreme enjoyer, basically, within this material world, competing with each other to become the supreme enjoyer in whatever situation one is in. When we see Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, then we can get released. It's not recommended in the scriptures that we spend our time trying to make use the example Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, of trying to make a toilet a comfortable place. But most people are busy trying to, this material world, he likened it to a toilet. You do your business and get out. But most people are very busy trying to make the toilet a very comfortable place to be in. Or a prison. Sometimes Prabhupada would liken it to a prison. In a sense it is for the soul, because we're encased within this body and practically forced, or we may think we're not, forced by our past karma, forced by the material energy in certain ways, even to think in certain ways, to reciprocate or respond to situations in certain ways. We're under control. The soul is more or less helpless in the midst of this, washing the minds. Show going on before our conscience, our consciousness, aware of the soul, of the mind, show behavior. Living entity is practically helpless. Once entangled in this material world, we're practically helpless, being buffeted around here and there and everywhere. Living entity is busy trying to somehow or another, in this prison house or in this very uncomfortable situation, trying to make it comfortable. But the best thing is to get out of it, not to battle away trying to make it comfortable. You can't anyway, even if you try. Best thing is to get out of it. That's the purpose of actual human life. Unfortunately, most people don't know it. Trapped. So our business is to try to remind ourselves of these things, to wake up from our, not from sleep in the literal sense so much, but from our ignorance of our actual identity, our ignorance of the purpose of human life, our ignorance regarding our relationship with the Supreme, various kinds of ignorances, to wake up from this ignorance, come to the tamasimam yoti gamaha, come into the light, get out of the darkness. Nothing to do with, you know, being in a dark room or being sick or anything like this. It's their consciousness. Becoming conscious of our relationship and everyone else's, everything else's relationship with Krishna. How we perceive the situation. We're not so interested in changing. Some people on a big, even devotees on big campaigns, green the earth, save the environment, save the whales, whatever it is, you know. So many things. Liberate Sydney. So many different things you see everywhere. People have all these kind of ideas that this will solve the problem. That was all this morning, I sort of said. Things to enjoy before you die or something in Melbourne. And things to do before you die in Melbourne. You know, there's so much in ignorance. Trying to squeeze it out as much as they can while they can before they die. They don't know what the real happiness is or the real release is on this material world. There's so much entangled. Our business is to try ourselves to become Krishna conscious and try to pass that on to others, try to give everyone a chance to wake up from this false lifestyle, this illusory lifestyle, ignorance which most of us are in. Otherwise we have to come back again and again to this material world until we realize that we're exhausted. In this material world, we have no more illusions about it. It may take a while, but better we try to speed it up. The more we perform Sankirtan, book distribution, prasad distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, many other things too, to help people to remember their relationship with Krishna somehow or another. According to our capacity, we should try to play our part, help to remind others about Krishna. This will help to release us also from bondage in this world. But we have to remind ourselves as well, otherwise we can also get caught and fall back to sleep again in the material world very, very easily. And be cautious of these modes of material nature. Don't think that Krishna consciousness is another movement to fulfill my economic needs or my sense gratification needs. It is not. Not that Krishna may take them away if they're impediments to our spiritual life. He may give them if they're favorable. It's that which is favorable to our spiritual life. The Lord may give or take as he sees fit. But don't think the goal of life is that we depend on Krishna, not on the results of our work. So we've got to finish their program this morning in the Melbourne Cricket Ground. We don't think we're going inside, are we? Are we going inside? Are we performing inside the stadium? Are we doing kirtan in the stadium or not? No? Yes? Why don't you go inside?
We have to pay.
We have to pay?
Yep.
Yes. Tell them we're doing the highest welfare work. Let us in free. We can entertain them. They should pay us. We'll entertain them during the interval if they have one. We can do the entertainment for them. We help them all to transcend the modes of nature. They're losing. They'll need some help. People have to pay to get in.
Thousands of dollars.
$150.
How much?
$150.
You were there?
No.
Someone told me $1,000. What is it?
For a front seat.
Pardon?
For a front seat, you pay $1,000.
Front seat for $1,000. The back seat?
$150.
Huh?
Just a
stand. Stand for $150. You can stand. What a amazing, isn't it? People pay, work so hard to get money and then they spend it all sitting there, and most of them will be miserable. Isn't it incredible? And you can stay outside and just chant Hare Krishna, no charge. They even get free cookie. Funny world, but they'd rather go inside and pay $1,000 and lose. Funny world. What to do. Any questions? Nice to see so many devotees here this morning. Weekend, Saturday weekend, day of rest. There's no rest in this material world, really.
What's the benefit if someone gets a cookie?
They'll get even more benefit if they eat it.
They get some benefit if they just get it. They've at least stepped to something. Beginning, for many of them, the beginning of their spiritual lives. Well, of course, it's offered, we presume it's offered to Krishna. Hopefully it's been offering, it will be offered to Krishna, is that right? Is that correct? Yes? No? Prashad? Well, they're getting Krishna's mercy, they're really fortunate. This is first stage, at least, they probably said they're at least they'll get another human birth. Even if an animal eats it, probably some dogs will get a few remnants probably along the line there somewhere. Birds, maybe some of the worms. I guess some, who knows, but whoever takes the shot, and Prabhupada said one time, they'll get a human life in the next life, and a chance to carry on. They'll get another cookie, or maybe two cookies in the next life. And gradually their faith in Krishna consciousness will develop. Take me some time, but they'll gradually develop their attraction towards Krishna. We see that in the restaurants here in Melbourne. Melbourne restaurants are world famous, as everybody knows. So many people have come to the rest. I met one on the plane the other day with one of the leaders of the Ananda Marg Society. We sat next to each other. And very nice man, actually. Very good. And he said he goes to our restaurants all over the world. Yeah, they're really good. They've got in his heart very, very favorable, very soft hearted. These restaurants are so important for connecting people to Krishna consciousness. They develop a favorable attitude towards Krishna after some time, their faith. And then they may start reading something or chanting. Different ways of helping people to develop their faith in Krishna. This is a major way. By taking prasadam, so many people's first connection is through prasadam. It's very important. Even if they just take one cookie, their life will be successful. Life has been fulfilled, purpose of life fulfilled. They're guaranteed to carry on. They will not have to fall down again to the lower species of life and lose the opportunity of human life. And they will again get the chance in the future to connect with Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's special mercy for people in general. And of course, even Parvati, she wanted that everyone should get the Lord Mahaprasad. So it's our duty to try to see that everyone gets Mahaprasad of the Lord, whether it's a cookie or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's offered to the Lord. People like cookies, it's a good program. So they get immense benefit from taking a cookie, tremendous benefit. And by chanting Hare Krishna, the devotees, people will hear, they may not know what is it, but they'll get tremendous benefit also by hearing a holy name and remembering Krishna in that way. Prabhupada said eventually they become theists. They may be atheists now, but they'll become theists, he said again. Such benefit. The beginning of their spiritual life for many, many people. Such benefit from hearing the holy name and taking prasadam. And of course if there are books too, some people may take some literary leaflet or booklet or something. And they get still more benefit. All these things go well together to help people to develop a favorable attitude towards Krishna consciousness. We try to distribute as many cookies as we can, not to the devotees, to the public. We can also deliver to devotees, it's also very good, but they're really meant to give out to those who are in the public. Maybe the devotee nibble on one or two. One or two, so not too many. The preach is the essence, the mercy. Give out the mercy. Anything else?
Last weekend there was some drunk people.
I have bad hearing. Huh? One at a time. One person. Repeat the question. Sorry, it's
last,
not your fault.
Last weekend, on episode 40, there was some some drunk people.
Some
drunkards.
There are some drunkards at the footy. They're not all drunk. I thought they were all drunk. In England, they have these things. They're all drunk. At least it used to be. What do we do about it? What would be the benefit for the drunkards to hear chanting Hare Krishna? What would be the same thing, really? I mean, everyone's drunk in one way or another. They may not be drunk from liquor, they're drunk from something else. Everyone's intoxicated. So anyone who gets the good fortune, this is they'll get tremendous benefit. Even if they're drunkards, even if they're intoxicated, they'll still... They may say something not so pleasant, for that they get a material reaction, but they get the eternal spiritual benefit of hearing the holy name, which will never go away. I mean, let's take, for example, in 1970, I'm not sure which year it was, in San Francisco, and Prabhupada was at the Rathiantra and he gave a lecture, and all the people sat there, lying there, mostly they were intoxicated, young hippies, mostly intoxicated, some of them were literally naked, and many were having illicit connections with each other, and intoxicated, almost all intoxicated. And Prabhupada gave a lecture and said, all you young boys and girls who have come here today and have seen Lord Jagannath are going back to Godhead in your next lifetime. That's right there in the folio, Prabhupada's lecture. So, you know, you can imagine how much, of course Prabhupada was there, he could say that. But still, anyone who hears the holy name, even if they're drunk, it doesn't matter. They get permanent eternal benefit from hearing the holy name. They get freed, because they may even say Hare Krishna, from an incredible amount of entanglement in this world. And little drop of Gyanta Sukriti, they get a little bit of unknowing good fortune. Eventually it will grow and grow and grow. The result of hearing it once is it will they'll get the chance to hear it again and again and again and again. If necessary, lifetime after lifetime, they'll gradually wake up. They'll gradually become sober and free from their material addictions. Yes, so not that we purposely go for one person or another, because everyone in this material world is basically an illusion and ignorance. And we're trying to give to everyone. If there happen to be drunken people there, use their common sense, and sometimes you have to adjust slightly in order to avoid any unbecoming circumstances. But in principle, everybody is getting the benefit, whether they're so-called drunk or so-called sober. Everybody gets Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Same thing with Prasadam. The more our consciousness is Krishna conscious when we're preparing it, offering it, and distributing it, then the more quickly the effect will be there. The more effect it will have to enter into the person's consciousness. Same with chanting. The more we're actually absorbed in service to the name, then the more quickly the people will wake up. Otherwise it will be a little slower. Slower, but still the effect is there, even if it's not so potent. There's still some benefit is there. Lord Nityananda was always preaching to the drunken people. We had in Birmingham, maybe 2 years ago in England, on Harinam Sankirtan, there were a couple of drunks came in the middle of the kirtan and they started to cause a bit of disturbance. So one of the doers, very cleverly, he summarily talked to them and convinced them, if they don't mind, please, you're most welcome to stay, but please don't do this and this. And they conformed, and they were a bit more behaved, better. And then the end, after a while, the kirtan sort of came to not a stop entirely, but a break, and these drunkards were very excited. And they came over, and one of them opened, put his hand in his pocket and pulled out a £20 note. They weren't actually poor drunkards, they were people with money, but they were drunk. And he gave it to the devotee, and then the other one opened his wallet and gave every devotee £20. About 12 devotees were there. Everyone got £20. And then the devotee gave him loads of books. And these drunkards walked off with a lot of books in their hands. Yes, obviously those drunkards were a little bit more advanced on their spiritual path. But you never know. You never know what happens in the future. What effect. Many people will come to Krishna consciousness in this way. They were drunk when they first saw the colors or intoxicated. Later on they gradually became purified. Many people. Okay, anything else? The cookies are ready. More bags. Waiting for bags. We're going to finish here. We've got a lot to do this morning. We're going to try to go for the footy match. And we can keep going. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Atra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premandi Hari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Wish everyone all the best, and keep chanting Hare Krishna, don't worry. Krishna will look after everything.